Underpants.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Robot Underpants. This is Langley. I am here with Starman Michael Gaines.
Hello, how's it going, eh?
All right, apparently he's in Canada this week.
No, I'm not in Canada.
Eric Rice, who's normally here, is near Canada. He's on assignment in Alaska, checking out underground alien bases or something like that. But we do have Hermione Way here.
Hello. I actually was in Canada last night.
You were?
Yesterday. Yeah, I was in Vancouver.
Oh, and what were you doing there?
I was doing many things, startup related stuff.
Okay. You're doing your startup world project. We can talk about that in a few minutes if you want, or you can talk about it now.
Yes, A.
A?
A.
Okay, in a bit. First of all, you're probably one of my favorite people from San Francisco, so I'm glad that you were able to be on here.
Well, at least somebody likes me.
I do. Yeah.
Everyone else hates me in San Francisco.
Oh. No, nobody hates you.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Why would they hate you?
I don't know. Ask them. Haters gonna hate, right?
Haters are gonna hate. Well, I don't have a whole list of your accomplishments because I only know a few of them, but you did do do people hate you because of the startup, Silicon Valley startup show?
Yeah, I got a few more haters because of the TV show. I had some anyway, but,
you know. Am I the only person who actually liked that show?
Yes. I didn't even like that show.
You didn't like the show?
No, I understood what they were trying to do with it. I liked what they were trying to do with it.
Yeah, but they failed.
Maybe, I suppose. Whatever. I'm not going to go on it. But we would talk, Langley and I would talk.
It was literally a shit show.
Yeah. Are you out of a contract where you can talk shit about it now?
Oh, I can say whatever I want.
Oh, okay. Of course. You're Hermione. I was on the show. If you look really hard, I'm like way in the back at your birthday party for a split second. I was there. Yeah, I took a screen grab. I put it up. People were like, "Are you sure you want to admit that?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with it." Did you know what it was going to be when it finally came out, or did you feel like what it was not at all what you thought it was going to be?
Well, in our contract, we signed away our life, basically. I mean, we basically said that we could have hidden cameras anywhere. Yeah. They didn't actually end up doing that. But I think the thing is you know when there's a camera crew in the room, you know, you've got 40 people standing in front of you holding, big, massive cameras. So, you always know when they were filming and, was the final product how I am in real life? Yeah. Was it probably a little bit extended or, blown out of proportion? Yeah, a little bit. But that's the magic of TV, right?
Right. It's got to be entertaining for someone, I guess. Yeah, they were filming when I was there, and I was kind of, paying attention to some of that. I was kind of surprised that as many people at a party where people were drinking ran away from the camera rather than tried to be all like, put me on camera.
As soon as TV is around people start acting crazy. It's funny, the people that bitched about the show the most on social media were the first people to show up for the filmed parties.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would kind of do this weird thing where they'd try and get in the back of the camera. And then they'd run away.
Yeah.
And it was very insightful to see how people behave as soon as, TV.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I thought about that, too. I'm like, how real can reality be? Like you said, there's going to be cameras in your face. I mean, we were in the kitchen at one of those mansions talking. There's not you and I, but me and some other people. We were a little group of us in the kitchen talking, and there's a guy right here with a big camera and a boom right in the middle of the circle. You're not going to sit there and have a normal conversation. You're going to be a little guarded about what you say, or in some cases you might play it up a bit. So it might be reality plus sort of in a way.
I mean, I strapped a dildo on national TV.
Yeah.
Would I have done that at a party anyway?
Yep.
Yeah, probably.
Totally. And that was the thing. I was there for that, and people were like, oh, my God, I can't believe she did that. And I'm like, no, that didn't really seem that weird when I was there. Yeah. It didn't at all.
Somebody buys you a strap-on, what are you going to do with it, you know?
Of course. I was like,
exactly what I was doing.
They made a big production about it in the final show, but I was like, that was like for a couple of minutes, and it was funny, and it seemed like it fit with what was going on, and then, yeah, you know, they made it into this whole thing that, oh my, yeah, God, it's the end of your career and your life and everything. You'll never work in this town again. however, so let me ask you this. Now you're a spokesperson for this wearable smart vibrator. Did that have anything to do with this?
No. Okay. Well, you know, life is like that. One thing leads to another and leads to another thing. It's like kind of like a branch where, you know, from one stem leads a different direction in life.
Absolutely.
So yeah, indirectly, yes, the reality show did lead to this, but the two were unrelated.
It wasn't
directly.
It wasn't specifically because you strapped on a strap-on and ran around on national television.
No, but it probably helps.
It probably does help. All right. Well, it's called Vibees. And
it's the world's first smart vibrator.
What makes it smart?
So basically it connects with your smartphone via Bluetooth. And you listen to audiobooks or any sort of book, really, and the vibrator vibrates along with the audiobook. So, for example, 50 Shades of Grey, right? That's been a hugely successful book trilogy. And if you're listening to 50 Shades of Grey through the app, the vibrator part would vibrate to the story. So when the story was getting more intense, the vibrator would vibrate more intensely, and when the story was slow, you know, it would vibrate slower. And the idea is, you know, to connect more senses than just sight. You're connecting audio senses and touch and feel. And we all live more interconnected lives, or we travel more. Now, I've been in long-distance relationship where Skype has been involved, and Skype sex needs innovation, clearly.
And this I agree.
This is Skype sex 2.0, so there you go.
So it does work then between two people, not just from an audiobook.
Well, you can either listen to an audiobook on your own, hands-free, or you can your partner can actually play with the device and change the vibrating frequency from their app. So, you know, if I was in San Francisco and my partner was in London, he could control the vibrator through his iPhone app. Or if he wasn't around and I just wanted to have some fun, I could control it by myself.
I got to say, I'm surprised it took so long for this to come out to the market. I don't know why this wasn't invented 5 years ago.
I'm surprised too. I always thought that Skype needed add-ons.
Physical add-ons.
Attachments. Yeah.
I want to see if there's a Google Plus add-on for that.
It'll only work sometimes.
Yeah. the adult sex toy industry is a $15 billion industry.
Yeah.
So the size of the market just shows you, you know, the potential for this product. And I think, you know, as we all do travel more and we all do have more long-distance relationships, it is hard to keep that intimacy between partners. And I think this is really going to help.
I agree. I've been in long-distance relationships. This would have been fun. However, where's the guy part?
The guy is controlling the vibrator.
But what if that doesn't always get
anymore. He needs men.
Yeah.
The eye fleshlight.
I want. Yeah. Right. Like, where's the other piece? There's the other half of it. I guess. I mean, you know, that's fine. So let's see. What else was I going to ask you about this?
How do they field test this? That's what I want to know.
I think there are a lot of women involved.
I'm sure.
Do you want me to spell it out for you?
No.
Actually, wasn't there supposed to be a demonstration yesterday or something? I didn't see that.
That was actually a joke because
I was all like,
TechCrunch wrote this really like funny kind of childish. Oh my God, there's a new vibrator piece.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I thought I would carry on the joke and tell everyone I was doing a live demo.
I actually tried to avoid a meeting at work yesterday because I thought you were going to actually do something with it. I mean, I didn't think you were going to actually put on a show, but I wanted to see what you were going to say and what you were going to do. I will admit, when I went to the website, so you had an Indiegogo going, and it looks like you already made like twice as much as you were trying to raise.
Yep.
Which is awesome. Good job. 24 hours. But the commercials on there, the little videos, the ads, I was like, is this for real? They looked a little, I don't know, onion-ish a little bit. Not quite as funny.
Well, yeah, when you're marketing a product like this, you got to kind of go one of two ways. You can either, you know, be very serious, or, you know, you can go down the route of this is providing women with more fun and let's not take this product too seriously.
Right, right.
But I think the route we're going down
is that's probably the way to go. I mean, I remember.
You as men feel emasculated? Did you feel beaten by a vibrator?
No.
No.
Do you feel no longer needed on the planet?
No. When I remember having vibrating panties. No, I didn't have them, but I got them for a girlfriend.
Oh, see, now it slips out.
Oops. Like, no, I would.
That mental image.
I would let you know if I was wearing them. I'm wearing them right now, actually. See, what you should have done is you could have left the product here, and then you could have controlled it from there, and then we could have seen what happened, or vice versa.
There you go.
It would have been funnier if I had it, I think, than, you know, while I was trying to do a show. But I remember getting these, like, you know, vibrating panties for my girlfriend at the time, and we would go out and, you know, randomly flip the little remote control from across the room and watch your face go goofy. So it was fun. I mean, I don't know if it was really doing anything other than being fun, but I mean, it wasn't, you know.
What else are orgasms supposed to be than fun? Seriously, guys.
Right.
I'm not disagreeing. It was also the remote control wouldn't go farther than, like, it wouldn't go around a corner. So, you know, it wouldn't work for a long distance. It was just for like long distance across the bar or whatever at a party or something like that. So, you know.
This vibrator is actually hands-free. So we've done a lot of testing with a lot of different shapes and sizes. And this one you can actually put, you know, down there and it'll just stay. And you don't need to, you can just control the app through your smartphone. And you don't need to touch it.
So you can talk to it? Talk to Siri. Siri will vibrate for you. All right.
Potentially. Don't get Siri involved with this. She's a very respectable lady.
I think she's got her dirty secrets. I wouldn't be surprised. Oh boy. All right. So when this still needs to be produced, I guess, huh?
Yeah, we're getting it into production. Well, now we've beat our Kickstarter in 24 hours. We raised double and some.
Yeah.
Now we're getting it into production, and we're just going to see where it takes us.
Oh, I know where it'll take you.
Well, I've got to expect that, promoting a vibrator.
Well, yeah, probably.
Let me ask you this. Was this easier to put together than the product that you were doing on the show, on the Silicon Valley show?
No. You know, hardware is called hardware because it's fucking hard.
Yeah, figured.
You know, it's much harder than software. You'd be surprised at the amount of testing that goes into building a hardware product. You know, with Ignite, we did 300,000 pages of testing. And, you know, it's still not, we still haven't got it into market yet. We're still working on it. But, you know, it's been a lot harder than we thought, as with all startups. But this one, we've got half the team in Singapore. So that helps the technical team when they're testing and building out there. But yeah, I mean, you know, hardware is hard.
Yeah.
I
didn't know if that thing, if the Ignite thing was just for the show, or if that was something you guys are really still doing.
No, we're still doing it. My brother's mainly focusing on it now. We have had a few issues. It's taken a lot longer to get into market, as we said, and a lot more expensive to get into market, as we thought. But yeah, we're still working on it.
Is the go ahead.
Well, and with Ignite, we have an open API, so we're hoping at some point we can plug into Nike FuelBand and Jawbone, and other healthcare systems.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe Vibe is, maybe it can be a cross platform for this product as well.
Huh. Maybe. Was Vibe is your startup, or are you just a spokesperson for someone else's thing?
I was originally a spokesperson, and now I think I'm going to be bringing as more of a co-founder. It depends on negotiations that go on over the next few weeks.
Yeah, okay.
But Dima, the founder of the company, I met him in San Francisco, and we just kind of clicked. And I think this might be more of a long-term thing.
So so Richard Branson's not behind this?
He would love to be, I'm sure.
How do you? All right.
Maybe he'd prefer to be in front of this.
You would probably know more than I do about that. So there was a time when you posted a picture. You're in a hot tub with Sir Richard Branson on your Facebook.
That was the first week of January this year. That's what I was doing. I was hot tubbing with Richard Branson.
How does that happen?
I have my way.
All right, fair enough.
Do you need me to spell it out for you, Matt?
Yeah, actually.
Actually, it does not involve vibrators.
I bet it didn't.
Matt, do you want to get in a hot tub with Richard Branson? Is that where this is leading?
You know what? Maybe if it would help me get somewhere and get me a little bit of money going, I could use a hot tub in with Richard Branson if it would help me. I could use some help right now. I will say, though, I had no idea who Harry Styles was before that, so he can thank you.
Neither did I.
Well, no.
No, I'll tell you about the Richard Branson thing. So I'm a member of a group called Mai Tai. Have you heard of Mai Tai? Oh,
okay.
No? Yeah. Okay, so Mai Tai is a very eclectic group of Silicon Valley investors and entrepreneurs, and they meet every year in Maui. Because not only are they into technology, they also have an affinity for kiteboarding.
Oh, yeah.
And, if you Google Mai Tai, you'll see it's been covered by Bloomberg and Forbes. I mean, it's a pretty big deal. I think the market value of people on the beach last year was $8 billion. And Richard Branson is also an avid kiteboarder. So he was doing a special Necker Island Mai Tai trip. And luckily I got invited, and I spent a week on Necker Island, and I mean, he's an amazing entrepreneur, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he seems to get stuff done.
Yeah, he does.
On occasion. Although,
he's just a really great guy. I mean, he's one of those people, he'll never say to you, sorry, I got to go take this call, or sorry, I can't talk to you right now. He's, he'll be engaging with you, he'll sit down, he'll talk to you for 3 hours. I sat down with him next dinner a couple of times at breakfast, and I think he's 63 and he has so much energy. He was up at 6 a.m. playing tennis for 3 hours in the morning. Then he'd be kiteboarding with us in the afternoon. There was a surreal moment on the water. We're both passing each other on our kites in the Caribbean, and he sticks out his hand and high-fives me in the water. I'm just like, am I living right now? Is this my life?
Yeah. So. No, I've seen pictures. You've posted pictures of kiteboarding. It actually looks really cool. I saw some people doing it out Huntington Beach a couple weeks ago, and I was like, that looks like a lot of fun. I should get in shape.
You have to try it. You have to try it.
Yeah. I would.
It will change your life. It will change your life. And they call it the golf for geeks in Silicon Valley.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was that happening.
You know how all the business people used to play golf?
Yeah.
Well, now it's kiteboarding, apparently.
Huh. I might be better at that. I suck at golf. Really, I do. I don't know.
Never good at golf.
No, not golf. Oh, I forgot what I was going to ask you, though. Oh, well. You are... Oh, I was going to ask you, how many startups are you involved with?
I don't know. Too many. Too many to count.
Yeah.
Too many.
All right. You're obviously successful at some of them, right?
Yeah.
At least one of them?
It depends on how you define success, I guess.
Well, all right. Well, you have a few companies. You're part of NewsPepper.
Yeah, started NewsPepper in 2007. Where's Michael going?
I don't know.
Michael, what are you doing down there?
I have, Matt knows, I'm having problems with my headphones.
Yeah, so that's what...
The problem started up again. I think I got it.
All that Richard Branson talk.
Sorry about that.
Got him going.
And now I lost everybody again.
Oh, no.
It's like this cheap Radio Shack wire, which worked for 3 years, fine, no problem. Then I move it a quarter of an inch.
Don't move it. Don't move it.
No, that's why I don't like moving anything. Sorry about that. My apologies.
That's what she said. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. We don't know. We've never seen it. It's like every once in a while you see Mike stand up and walk, and it's like when you watch Sesame Street or the Muppets and you see them with legs. And it's really weird. It's really weird, and it feels uncomfortable.
I know. The first time I meet people that have only seen me on video, they say, damn, I didn't know you were so tall, because I'm 6.5 feet tall. So,
and, wow. And he has legs.
And I have legs. Yes, I do.
Evidently.
Wow, where are you in the world right now?
New Jersey. I'm just like a stone's throw from Manhattan.
I actually hung out in New Jersey a lot this last trip, and I love New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. I saw your pictures.
People in Manhattan are really mean, and they say it's the bridge and tunnel people.
No, I saw you posted a couple of pictures from across the river. I'm like, oh, I've been there. I know where she is.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. It was really, really great. I loved it out there, and it's much cheaper, and it only takes like 15 minutes to get in on the train to Manhattan.
On a good day, yeah. There, I was telling somebody earlier that there are some times when getting into the city can be a serious pain in the ass, but even with the train, because some days the trains are slow or you're stuck in the tunnel for 3 hours, but on most days it's really good. I love New York.
Yeah. Actually, I never really liked it before my last trip. And my last trip, I hung out in Brooklyn and Harlem and New Jersey. I liked it much better.
Do you know? I mean, I saw your pictures in New Jersey, but like, what exactly were you doing there? Were you just like hanging out at night for dinner?
Yeah, I was with friends hanging out. We went to that place where you can see the whole of Manhattan.
Yep.
So yeah, and then I had dinner in Harlem at the Red Rooster.
Yep.
So nice. Nice place.
Yeah. Love there it. Are a bunch of places in like Jersey City. There's a beautiful shot of New York City from Jersey City. That whole area, I love it there. I my grandparents grew up there, so I spent a lot of time there, so I know exactly where you are.
Yeah.
But, beautiful. New Jersey gets a bad rap. I can understand why.
I mean, it's a little bit ghetto, but they're the most exciting places.
Sometimes ghetto is interesting.
Yeah.
It's good to visit. I don't know. I lived in Memphis, so that was pretty ghetto.
You don't seem too excited, Matt.
No, I wasn't excited to live in Memphis. Well, there was Graceland, and that was about it. But even Graceland was in, like, the crappy part of town now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, most of Memphis is the crappy part of town, but it was, like, the crappier part of the crappy town. So it was, yeah, I don't know.
And yeah. you're in Los Angeles right now?
I'm in the Los Angeles area right now, yes.
Nice. I just literally, the reason why my hair looks like shit is because I literally had the top down and just drove 8 hours from L.A.
I've done that. L.A. to San Francisco and back.
Did you take the PCH?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice view.
Yeah.
It's a long drive, though, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So wait a minute, I'm going to put this together. You were in Vancouver yesterday, then L.A., and then you drove up to San Francisco?
Welcome to my life.
Wow. You have been, where were you, let's see, where were you before Vancouver?
Miami.
And when was that, like 3 days?
Miami, New York, Montreal.
Are you in a band?
Yeah, it's called Startup World.
Startup World. Tell us about Startup World.
Startup World is like Shark Tank for startups.
Yeah.
But global. So we go to 20 cities worldwide, and we've actually just done 20 cities worldwide. We do pitching competitions for entrepreneurs. We have 10 startups that pitch at each event, and then the winners are going to fly to Silicon Valley in November for the grand final.
Is this is going to be a show or recorded, or is this just a...
I want it to be a show. We actually just took a videographer with us, and we just recorded the whole thing. But yeah, I want to sell it to a network.
Right. Like what's the Silicon Valley reality show maybe should have been?
Yeah, and it will be more like a mixture of Shark Tank and The Apprentice,
yeah.
Flash The Amazing Race.
I think if someone does a Silicon Valley reality show, another one, and does anything different, it doesn't even have to be great. It's just different, then people will love it.
Yeah.
I think
you should be in the next one.
I should be in the next one, but I'm not there anymore.
Now, what I liked about the first one, it's because I'm a developer, so it was interesting to watch the progression of projects from ideas to actually getting done. But I can see why people didn't like it. I think maybe there was a little bit too much drama in it.
Yeah. I think the problem was it was too geeky for mainstream America, and it was too mainstream for Silicon Valley. So it's kind of in this weird place where it didn't really appeal to either audience.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the drama was mostly real. We kind of knew that, you know, we were, you know, being filmed, and we knew we had to sort of put on a show to reach Bravo's audience. Right. And you know what? It's a unique experience that not many people get to try in life.
It's true.
11,000 people auditioned for the show. So
wow.
Well, yeah. Congrats. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Woo.
No, I mean, you know.
I had no idea that people had auditions. I thought what they did was they just went to people that were well known in Silicon Valley and just did it that way. I mean, like, who else are you going to get that are well known in Silicon Valley except for, like, someone like you?
I didn't see Scoble.
Yeah.
You didn't see Scoble in the shower.
Walking around taking pictures in his bathtub.
He'll be on the next round.
Have you guys tried Google Glass?
I haven't.
Not yet.
I tried Scoble's in Berlin, and it was such a disappointment.
Did it smell funny?
It didn't vibrate, that's for sure.
Well, like, it's good.
People are saying how awesome this thing is, and I mean, as a developer for a long, long time, I just looked at it and I went, it's obnoxious. This looks obnoxious, and the screen would be a distraction. So,
yeah. When I felt the first iPhone, like it's the first time, I just knew it was going to be a game changer.
Yeah. Sure.
And I was the biggest advocate of Google Glass. I thought it was going to solve the obesity problem in America. I thought we'd all be doing our emails whilst going for a run, or you know, updating our Twitter whilst doing yoga. I had huge high hopes for Google Glass, and I put Scoble's on, and instantly I just didn't get that feeling. I got a sinking feeling in my heart. The UX is not good. The UX feels awkward.
Right.
Even the hardware, it feels like it's going to break any moment.
Yeah.
You kind of look like you have a tick because you have to keep doing this to change screens. It's like you're adult with like an itch in your ear.
Well, it's like, so far, from what I can tell is you can take pictures and tweet them. I don't. What else can you do with it?
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. I don't need that.
I'm usually disappointed.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to know from a developer's perspective that you're not impressed, because I would have thought every developer in the world would be jumping to develop on their platform, but clearly not.
Yeah, Google's doing some strange. They're making some strange decisions right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
We always have some like Google gripe fest on the show at some point.
But
we don't have too much to gripe about. You want to? Oh, here's a reality show that you're not on. This guy. Do you have the link for this? Do I have the link for this?
The link for that. Well, hold on.
Okay, this guy. I remember hearing about this guy on Stern. I'm pretty sure I heard about this guy on Howard Stern.
I'll put the link in chat so that Hermione can look.
Man, here's the headline: Man with a 132-pound scrotum lands TLC series.
Oh, I saw that reality show. That was in England.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. It was really sick.
Yeah, there's a picture.
Like, I actually thought it was fake when I first watched it.
I remember hearing about the guy, and he couldn't. Like, he had no money to get the surgery to take care of this, and they were trying to raise money for him. He has to wear a sweatshirt around his sack because it's just.
Yeah. It's like he's pregnant in his ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, can't it's bigger be good. Than the pregnancy. It's weird. And then he like lugs it around. I mean, poor guy.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think when it started to get to be about, basketball size, maybe, you might want to See what you can do about that. I mean, maybe he did. I don't know. But TLC, remember when TLC was the learning channel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did have the one with the Siamese, the conjoined twins. Oh, Siamese is not PC anymore.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Those two girls. I watched one episode. It was really kind of weird and hard to watch. It was these two. They're like in their 20s. I forget what their names are. Hermione is taking pictures. Yay. But I watched it. It was weird because they would say like every other word at the same time, kind of.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of. It wasn't hard to watch that it was just that it was gross or anything. It was just hard to watch because it was just you're not used to hearing like two people say the same thing every other word. I don't know. Maybe we'll start doing this show like that and see if it helps.
Let's do that.
You need a pair of Siamese twins. So what's up with you? Why did you leave Silicon Valley? Why are you in LA?
I left because I couldn't afford anything there anymore, and I didn't have a job. So, you know, I will say after I got laid off that Hermione was the first person that actually did something to try to help me get a job. So thanks. It didn't pan out. But
what did I do?
You emailed
the next web. Yeah,
the next web for me. Yeah. And, I mean, not a lot of people would do that.
The thing I think people don't get about tech is we're a family. You know, we're a community of, you know, a few people around the world, and we need to help each other when we can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, entrepreneurship's hard, and, you know, you'll be up one day and you'll be down the minute, and when you're up, you're up, you need to help others. When you're down, others need to help you. I've just been around the world, bootstrapping startup world. And I've been amazed, like hugely amazed at the global startup scene. Just the help that everyone gives us. We've been using this amazing service called Startup Stay, which is like Backpackers.com? No, Couchsurfing. So Startup Stay is Couchsurfing.com for entrepreneurs. And basically you say where you're going and another entrepreneur, startup entrepreneur will host you at their house. So we've been staying on startup couches all over the world, and people have just been amazing at helping us.
That's so pretty cool.
We need to help each other more.
I agree. And not just the tech people, but everybody needs to kind of stop being dicks.
There's people that exist outside of tech?
Well, it's most people, yeah. I mean,
there's a world out there?
I guess. I don't know. There's... Occasionally, yeah, actually there is. I did actually move down, after I moved down here, I kind of stepped away from the computer for a few months while I didn't have a job, and I was like building things with my hands and learning how to do mold making and a little bit of construction and things like that, and carpentry, and it was really fun because it's not something that I ever was interested in or did. My dad does that. He's really good at building stuff, but I was always like, hey, I'm going to go over here and take this thing apart and whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do that. Yeah. But it was actually pretty cool. And I find I have a real interest in some of that stuff. And now, like, when somebody's like, hey, you should apply for this social media job for this company, I'm like, really? I don't really want to do that.
Like, well, I mean, you know, I've spent my whole life doing online stuff, you know, since I was at university. And sure, I have a few thousand Twitter followers and a few thousand Facebook followers. But if Facebook or Twitter was to go down tomorrow or delete my accounts, I have nothing. I have nothing physical that I've done with my hands or anything physical that I've built in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Well,
but you've helped other people build stuff.
Yeah.
You've built stuff for yourself.
You've built like helping.
It's pushing pixels.
I guess, but even if you, from what it sounds like, helping people and, you know, other countries get their things going, like you've educated people and you've helped people, you know, learn how to do things and get their, maybe motivated some people too. You do stuff that you maybe don't, we all do stuff that we don't realize we're doing. We influence other people all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you could always join the Peace Corps.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, it's actually not far off from what you're doing right now. It's, you know, helping people to get, you teach people to get their communities
I mean, the most exciting thing for me, I mean, if you think what's happening in Silicon Valley is exciting, or New York, or, you know, Los Angeles with Silicon Beach, for me, the most exciting thing is what's happening in Africa and South America. You know, for example, Rwanda, we were there during Startup World. Now, Rwanda is a little country that's had genocide for the past 10 years. They've basically been killing each other for stupid reasons. But now the government is putting all of their resources into making them the Silicon Valley of Africa.
Wow.
And the government spent $91 million on laying the fastest fiber optic cable throughout the country. And now they're putting all their resources into educating their young to be engineers. And so over the next 10, 15 years, you're going to see a huge power shift to young Africans that are in Africa building the next Facebook and Google. Wow. And it's, I mean, hugely interesting. And they're, I mean, I hate to say it because it sounds cliche, but they're hungry. They're literally hungry, but they're hungry for, no, they're hungry for building stuff. And yeah. they work harder, you know, that they work harder and they're hungry for it, hungrier for it than entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And they're really resilient as well. I think, I really do think the next power play and economic shift is after China going to come from Africa.
It could very well be. Was it scary there when you were there?
No, you Americans.
No, you said we just sat down saying people are killing each other for stupid reasons.
Well, that's all finished now.
Oh, you cleared that up for them while you were there?
Yes.
And I'm done here. All right, well, good job.
But our winner of Startup World Rwanda was a Kickstarter for Africa. And it's called Silencio Creative. And, you know, they're amazing entrepreneurs, and they're solving big problems.
What was some of the coolest stuff you saw then that people were making or doing?
So in Tanzania, the current UX or infrastructure to get a bus ticket is to walk for 3 days from your village. You have to go buy the bus ticket before you travel. And then you have to walk 3 days back to your village. And then you have to walk back on the day that you travel. And there's no other infrastructure to buy a bus ticket. But every African has a phone. It's not a smartphone, but they have like first generation Nokias. Mm-hmm. And now you can, the startup that won our competition enables you to buy a bus ticket through SMS.
Hooray.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a service called M-Pesa. If you can Google it, but 3/4 of Kenya's GDP goes through M-Pesa, and it basically enables you to pay for everything through SMS via your phone.
Hmm.
You can pay your utility bills, you can pay your phone bill, anything else. So in a way, it's way ahead of what we have here in America.
Yeah, and you were complaining about driving for 9 hours.
I know, right? First world problems.
Although 9 hours, that's a long time. Why did it take you so long?
Yeah, that is a long time.
It only takes like 6 to drive up. I guess because you cut
off. Well, we stopped and we had some lunch and we enjoyed the view. And
that's true.
Then there was traffic when we got to Berkeley.
Always traffic. Why don't you do something about that? Can you fix the traffic problem?
Yeah, really.
Put that on your list of things to do.
Well, didn't Waze, the traffic app, just sell for $1 billion?
Maybe. Does that help?
I've used it around New Jersey, which has a big traffic problem up where I live, and it's not entirely accurate. It's okay. I wouldn't depend on it.
Well, who bought it? Yahoo? Did Yahoo buy it?
Probably. They bought everything else.
What do you think? Yahoo? Up and coming? We're coming back? They going to take it over?
Too late?
I'm trying to think of a good metaphor for it, but it's kind of like the dad at the party that like learns a few new dance moves and comes back on the dance floor and thinks it's cool for a while. Yeah, maybe he's back for a while, but
we'll
see how long those acquisitions moves last for.
Yeah, fair enough. But see, I think Melissa Meyer might be up to something. She knows what she's doing, right?
Yeah, she knows what she's doing.
See?
When was the last time we sat around talking about Yahoo? So she's obviously doing something, right?
I bring it up all the time because I think that she's up to something, and it's going to be the new one, the new company. Maybe not overtaking Apple, but might overtake Google, especially the way Google's been doing things lately. I don't know.
Well, what are you talking about?
Just ditching their reader and rearranging Google Plus and making everything go into Google Plus and, you know, pissing people off.
Nah, Google are doing cool shit. I think Google are stronger than Apple right now.
You think?
I mean, they're doing the self-driving car, which is going to be huge. They're doing Google Glass, which is, you know, whether you like it or not, it's creating a lot of buzz. And the potential for Google Glass is huge.
But it won't take off till Apple does it right. Right?
Apple hasn't released anything for years.
They haven't done anything real.
And as much as, you know, I love the company, Tim Cook just does not have the charisma that Jobs had.
No, this is very true.
Nobody does.
No. Well, no, I mean, you can't replace him, so. You could try with Ashton Kutcher, but that movie's going to suck. You just know that movie's going to suck.
Yeah, I actually saw a preview at Sundance, and it got really bad reviews.
Oh, you saw it?
I did.
No. Yeah.
I'm not shocked.
Did either of you see The Internship?
No, not yet.
No, that was kind of weird. It was basically a whole movie about Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when they were filming it, and we were kind of like, okay, and then it came out, and I was like, oh, that's weird.
Like a big Google propaganda movie?
I don't really know what the heck it was, but obviously Hollywood's run out of things to make movies about. So.
We also talk about that every week on the show.
Yeah, we do.
It was like Wedding Crashers at Google.
Pretty much.
I don't know. We do have a little bit of movie news if we want to talk about that. Star Wars. John Williams is confirmed to do Star Wars 7 like that. Like anybody thought he might not.
Wait, hold on a minute. Doesn't Disney own Star Wars?
They own Star Wars now. So now they're putting the Star Wars name on everything in Disney.
Yeah. However, there is a report that says that they're going to cut back on the CGI for Star Wars 7 and do more real locations and real things, which is good. I mean, they own Henson. Why don't they put the Henson shop to use? The creature shop. Right?
I don't think Disney doing Star Wars is going to be great.
No? Well, they do Marvel.
They own
Marvel too. I don't know. I thought about this after it happened, and it seemed to make a lot of sense to me, actually, because who else was it going to go? If he was going to sell it, where was he going to sell it? Who was he going to sell it to?
It makes sense.
It doesn't have to be all like, you know.
Didn't you see that press conference with George Lucas when he said Hollywood's imploding?
I don't think I saw that, but yeah.
Yeah, him and Steven Spielberg were on a panel, and they both agreed that Hollywood's imploding.
I believe it. I mean,
I believe it. We're getting nothing but sequels and crappy movies now.
Reboots
and
yeah. I don't know.
And look at all the great stuff Netflix is doing. All the original content. Yeah, House of Cards coming back for a second season.
I haven't seen that yet. Is it good?
Oh my god, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I have to watch that.
It's one of the best TV shows I've seen in a long time.
I've been watching a lot of Hulu originals too. They've been doing some good stuff. A lot of it, I think, are just like British shows that never made it, and they're picking them up because a lot of them are British shows.
British shows are the best. Monty Python.
I watched the crap out of Peep Show. And,
and Skins, that was British first.
Skins? I don't know that one.
Yeah.
I should.
Love for that one.
Oh. I don't know what that means. All right.
I think its target market is a little bit younger.
Oh, because it sounds like porn.
Yeah. It is.
It's porn for people younger than me.
Well, it's like TV porn. It's kind of like Sex in the City.
Oh, I see. Okay, I gotcha. Well, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. We have some RoboCop news, I guess. Where did I put it? Oh, I don't know where it is.
But you know what show I'm loving, which I think really gets... Because I think the thing about our show is it didn't really get the idiosyncrasies of geek culture. And I think one TV show that gets the idiosyncrasies of geek culture really well is Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Although I do notice sometimes they go just a tad overboard with it. Like they try to throw too much in an episode. But yeah, you're right. The little bits, you're right, dead right on that. The idiosyncrasies are just dead on.
I mean, Silicon Valley is full of Sheldons.
Yeah. I've run into a few of those.
My
here
brother
too.
Is Sheldon. My Gosh. Friend's a Sheldon. My investor's a Sheldon.
And where does that put you then?
What's that other chick called? I don't know. Penny.
Penny, the neighbor.
Hopefully, I'm a little bit more intelligent than Penny.
Yeah, you're a little bit more.
That's not hard. That's not hard.
Probably not. The character's not written to be smart. Well, no, yeah, no, that is a good show. It's almost like the American mainstream version of the IT Crowd, I guess.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah.
All right, let's do RoboCop news.
This week in RoboCop news.
It's not much. Apparently someone leaked some photos of toys from the new RoboCop movie. So this is the thing. Every week we talk about how crappy the new RoboCop movie is going to be. Initially it wasn't that, but then it just every time there was just so much RoboCop news coming out and we just had to talk about it, and it seemed like everything that we saw was awful. So there's some pictures. Apparently this is what the thing's going to look like on these packages, and it's what we thought. It's a Batman costume with a Tron helmet.
It's bad.
Looks bad. That's it.
My brother just wrote a book about robotics.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Basically about the end of human jobs and how robots will replace them.
Robots are keeping my resumes from getting to humans.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm fairly confident that's happening. Yeah, that's how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. What's his book called?
Beginning of the End.
What's the name of his book?
Jobocalypse. It's already a bestseller on Amazon.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to have to pick
it up. He covers the moral grounds of robotics. So, for example, if you have sex with a robot whilst you're inside marriage, is it considered adulterous or not?
Yes.
No.
No?
Well, I mean, you'd have to have this conversation with your partner, because some people think that, like, watching porn on the internet is considered cheating, so.
I suppose.
Yeah. Only in America.
Yeah, right. Well, so I'm sure in Japan, having sex with a robot with tentacles is totally cool.
Is a woman using a vibrator inside of marriage, is that cheating or not?
I didn't even think of that.
If the guy's there or if the guy's not there.
Well, either way.
If it's with a book. I don't know. You tell me. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. It's a good question. Well, if it's better than the guy, then probably yes. But
shouldn't she leave the guy then?
What?
Shouldn't she leave the guy if the book is better than the guy? Or at least go to counseling?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. You know what? Is there going to be like a marketplace or a social area with this product where you can, if you don't have a girlfriend, you can go and like find one to use the product with?
No. You can keep that fantasy for your head. You can build that in your head.
Well, I could just go watch porn by myself, I guess.
Yeah, go and do that. I think you need to. Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
No, but there is a marketplace with the app. So basically, people can upload their own stories and their own fantasies and then sell them on the platform. So we're actually creating a marketplace for fantasy.
Oh, God. Is there going to be a furry section?
Are you guys getting awkward? Seriously?
No. I just had like 50 things go through my head about what would be in there.
You're getting
Is it the first thing that came into my head was Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones. There's going to be fanfic all over this thing. Oh, man.
Come on, guys. It's just the vibrator, okay?
Oh, I know. But it's...
You guys are giggling. Okay. Oh, giggling like little boys.
Oh, God. I'm just thinking of all the possibilities that where this is going to go wrong.
I'm not laughing at the fact that it's a vibrator. I'm laughing I'm more thinking...
What are you laughing at? You tell me.
How many different ways could somebody just take this and just go with it?
Yeah.
Just,
I'm thinking of all the scenarios where all the fanfic that I've seen that's so horrible that people are going to now have a physical connection.
Well, that's why our market's so big.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Oh, I'm not laughing size. At it. I'm laughing because I think it's actually going to be very successful.
It could very well be. Yeah.
I mean, like read along books and such. I mean, it's like that. It's like turn the page, you know, and the thing goes to the 10.
You will know it is time to have an orgasm when you hear the chimes ring like this.
Hey, if it makes women in the world happier, then it's not a That's not a bad thing at all.
Very right.
I am surprised that this isn't a thing for guys, though, because it seems like, you know.
That's a whole nother story.
It is a whole nother story. That'll be part two. That'll be, I don't know, whatever. I do remember seeing something a while ago. It was, of course, in, like, Japan, where there was some big, ridiculously unattractive contraption that you could, you know, slide on your dick. And then have some kind of interaction with, you know, a Skype type thing or whatever, or something that was already.
I think that's called a fembot.
Is it?
Yeah, you can actually buy them on the internet. They look really realistic.
I mean, I've seen like those the real dolls and things like that, but they're not like alive in any sort of way.
Or they will be in the future.
Virtually alive, and all the Japanese ones will have tentacles, of course.
Yeah, the Japanese are weird. They like doing strange stuff. They actually have vending machines for panties.
Sure. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
You might be out and be like, I need to get some panties. I just lost mine suddenly. I don't know. Here's a weird thing. I don't think this is out of Japan, but there's a couple of weird things that are happening. This is from IO9. You can control a rat with the power of your own mind. They've done this.
Wow. Is it through Bluetooth?
It's through... wait, what? I missed it.
She says, is it through Bluetooth?
Oh, no, it's not. And you can't do it from, like, across the world either, I don't think. Although, maybe you can. There's a whole diagram about, like, you know, you wear this thing on your head and then... You know, because you've seen those right. brain reading type
Does
devices.
Does the rat also wear one?
Yeah, but basically the rat is also wearing one, and then you control it. It goes through a bunch of electronics, and then it goes into the rat's brain and makes it do things. I don't know why you'd ever want to do that, but hey, people do things. That, like, you know, here's some people that grew some teeth out of human urine.
Yeah.
Because you need that.
You never know. It's just the beginning. Hey, you might not have some teeth one day, and you'll have a lot of urine, and you'll be like, what can I do with no teeth and a lot of urine?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You can.
I'm not going to be getting into that anytime soon.
Well, they used some kind of cells from the urine and were able to grow some bones and things.
Apparently, they became a vegetarian, and apparently, they can grow beef just by replicating the beef cells now, which is great because it means that hopefully animals won't be killed in the future for our meat. Apparently they've got this. They can replicate the beef cells, but they can't get the consistency right. So at the moment, the consistency of the meat is kind of like yogurt.
Pass me the beef yogurt. Oh no!
Beef yogurt.
That's a whole other video. Oh. Yeah, I do have my issues sometimes. I mean, I like steak and whatever, but every once in a while I do think about things and I'm like, maybe I don't want to eat some meat this week.
Yeah, I think the thing is, I actually grew up on a farm, and so I can happily go out, shoot an animal, skin it and eat it. But the problem I have is that now we're eating far, far too much meat than we were ever supposed to consume. And now food and animals are grown for human consumption, and they literally have no life. They never see the light of day. Yeah. And then they're slaughtered and put in our hamburgers, and it's really inhumane. And I just don't agree with that aspect of it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I think most people, I mean, probably me included, just don't think about things like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I grew up on a farm too. We had chickens. We didn't have cows, but we had chickens and turkeys. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of them, but we'd have enough my dad would take them down to the market or whatever and have them plucked and processed or whatever you need to do to have that done.
I mean, I think you can't, if you can't catch and kill your own meat and eat it, then you shouldn't be eating meat.
The Zuckerberg way.
Yes, exactly.
Is that where you got it from?
No. This is my own thinking.
You came with your own conclusions. No, I mean, you should at least know where it's come from. I mean, our chickens and turkeys were all, you know, fed organic. They were, you know, they were allowed to be out in free range and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, that if they've had a life, if they've breathed fresh air and, you know, they've seen the light of day, then I don't have a problem. It's just now, I mean, if you watch some of the videos on YouTube about how to prepare meat, it's literally, they are grown in warehouses and they can't even turn around in their cages. They eat through one end and they shit through the other, and it's really not nice.
It's the animal centipede.
Oh no.
What did you say?
It's the animal centipede instead of the...
It is the animal centipede.
The human centipede. Yeah, I mean, so you're all for genetically grown meat then?
If it means that less animals will, you know, animals will actually be able to have a life and less animals will be grown, you know, in a slaughterhouse, then yeah, and if it tastes the same, then why not?
Mm. Right.
That's it. I mean,
think of the impact on the environment as well that meat consumption has.
I mean, like, we're talking about, like, from stem cells grown meat in a lab, or are you talking about, like, you know, veggie stuff that tastes sort of like meat?
No, I'm talking about stem cells grown from a lab.
Yeah. I'd probably be all right with that. I mean, people are weird about that with, you know, the genetically engineered food. It's a little bit weird, but I think at some point we'll be like, whatever. I mean, could it be worse than the things we're eating now with all the hormones and whatever else that's in it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And if it tastes like bacon, then...
Oh, yeah, you still eat bacon, though.
I'm trying to get off bacon.
I stopped eating bacon, actually, because it just was...
Bacon.
I know bacon is great, but it just... I would look at it and be like, this is just fat and grease, and I eat enough shit the rest of the week. I'm just going to not eat this.
What about you, Michael? Would you eat beef that was stem cell grown in a lab?
Yeah, I mean, I don't... If it tastes fine, then I wouldn't mind. If it saves a bunch of animals' lives, then sure.
I mean, let's face it, the things we get at the store now that comes in a block of meat... You know, probably not going to be too much different. All the processed, you know, you get a ham that has a big thing of ham. It has absolutely no bones in it. It's just, you know, a ball of ham or turkey or whatever. Like, that's not natural. None of that is natural.
Mm.
So why not? Yeah. Stop some. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or make everybody go kill their own.
I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Your show is called Robot Underpants. What do they look like? What do robots' underpants look like?
That's up to the viewer to decide. It's something for them to think about while we're rambling on about. When the show gets boring, they can think about robot underpants. When there's those lulls, when Mike and Eric talk about video games for about 10 minutes, then people can... That's what I do. Because I'm not a huge gamer, so I kind of zone out when they usually start talking about that stuff. We didn't talk about any of that stuff today. Are you a gamer?
Gamer of life, not really of traditional games, although I do like FIFA.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You call it football, you call it soccer.
Right, because that's what we do.
FIFA on the PlayStation is really good.
I don't think I played that.
No, they
talked me into WoW, so I've been playing that a little bit, but not
I used to be into Doom. Do you remember Doom?
Of course,
sure.
Yeah, I love that.
I used to play...
Oh, and you know what I used to have? I had the Sega Game Boy. What was it called? A Game Boy? No, Sega Game Gear. It was a Game Gear.
Game Gear, yeah.
And I had the TV attachment in the top.
What?
Do you remember that?
Oh. Yep, I had that.
And it had the little antenna that you'd pull out and you'd be able to, like, pick up panels.
I had a Game Boy. I didn't have Sega. I had Nintendo.
No, Sega Game Gear was a lot of fun. For its time, it was.
Yeah. So good. Aww. Loved it.
Well... All right. I think we're about at the end of this, unless anybody has anything else they want to get out there.
Nope.
No?
Only some flatulence.
You're welcome to do that on the show, or you can wait about 2 minutes and then do it, whatever. Whatever. I mean, yeah, we're all holding it in too, so it's do not by yourself. This is the part of the show where Mike pimps all of his shows that he does that is not this show.
Oh, is that time now?
And go.
This week in Trek, World of Warcast, the Infinite Loop Show, and the Hooniverse. All the shows are on the d20network.com, and you can find me on Twitter at StarMike.
How many hater comments am I going to get from this show?
None.
Probably none. No one listens to the show.
Okay, I'll give you $10. I'll bet you that I get at least 3.
Wait, if you get at least 3, I have to give you $10?
Yeah.
Not taking that bet. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I think you did pretty good here. You didn't say anything that would make people pissed off.
I actually view them as badges of honor now. I've learned a way to deal with my haters. It's really good. You know what I do?
You send them dirty pictures.
I say, I love you, hater. I just tell them that I love them, and then they get really confused because they're like, "God damn it, this is not the response I wanted."
No, you're probably right.
Yeah,
that's probably a good way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it ever get you down?
The haters?
Yeah.
No, you just got to grow a thick skin. I mean, if you do anything that's out there, you're gonna get haters and fans. Richard Branson has a lot of fans, but he also has a lot of haters. Right. So,
do you get more? Do you get real quick before we go? Do you get more haters from the males or females?
Both. The majority of the people actually think that the majority of my following is men, but it's not. 60% of my followers are women.
The ones that like you.
What?
The ones that like you are women.
Yeah, the ones that like me.
Majority. Yeah, I mean, I wondered it because, you know, you hear, oh, yeah, she's a, you know, ditzy blonde, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't know what she's doing. But, like, you've proven that you do know what you're doing. And it does, you know, I've had to tell people that before. I've stood up for you, you know. I'll do that. But I think it's because you're doing, like, serious stuff like Startup World, but then you're doing, you know, vibrators. Vibes. Yeah. So do you ever find that there's a conflict there at all, or is it just, you know, I can do whatever I want because I'm Hermione?
Do you respect Richard Branson any less in business because he likes to do tequila shots out of girls' belly buttons?
No.
No.
There's your answer.
No, I mean, I don't have a problem with any of that. I just wonder. No, my question was more like, do you in business find that people are less likely to, or they might avoid you more because of because of your you?
I think there are probably a certain amount, percentage of people that will probably avoid me because of my online or my public persona. But I also think there's a certain percentage of people that will want to work with me because of my online personality. So I think it works both ways. I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
And my favorite quote of this year is, those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind.
Good point.
People that have a problem with me, I wouldn't want to do business with anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Fair enough. I agree. All right. You want to go ahead and do a final pimp push on anything? All your
pimp
stuff.
Push.
You know what
push.
I'm talking about. Pimp your shit.
Check out startupworld.com. That's my most serious project. Uh-huh. And then check out Vibes, the world's first smart vibrator. Check out newspaper.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Hermione Way.
All right.
Mwah.
Hermione Way, thanks for being on. And you're always welcome to be on anytime you want to, of course.
Great.
Next time you're like, no.
Next time I want to see the robot underwear.
Maybe. I'm going to be adding.
I'm only coming on if you bring the robot pants.
We'll see. I might work on that. I'm going to be adding a new robot to the collection, so we'll see. Although it won't be for a little while, probably. All right, that's it. We'll see you next week.
See you.
Bye.
Adios.
Bye, internet. Damn, I like my fake meat. I like my fake meat. Damn, I like my fake meat. It's juicy. Damn, I like my fake meat. I like my fake meat. Damn, I like my fake meat. It's juicy.